Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 21, The Dynasty of Bharata, Text Number 7. Atanyo bhokshaya manasya vibhaktasya mahipate vibhaktam vya bhajal La tasmai Rishalaya Harim Smaran. Ata thereafter, Anya, another guest, Bhokshamanasya, who was just about to eat. Vibhaktasya, while setting aside the share for the family. Mahipate, of the king. Vibhaktam, the food allotted for the family. Vyabhajat, he divided and distributed. Tasmai, unto him. Rishalaya, unto a Shudra, Harim, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Smaran, remembering. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, having divided the remaining food with his relatives, Ranti Deva was just about to eat his own share when a Shudra guest arrived. Seeing the Shudra in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, King Ranti Deva gave him also a share of the food. Report, because King Ranti Deva saw everyone as part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he never distinguished between the Brahmana and the Shudra, the poor and the rich. Such equal vision is called Samadarshana. Pandita Samadarshanaha. One who has actually realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in everyone's heart, and that every living being is part of the Lord does not make any distinction between the Brahmana and the Shudra, the poor Daridra and the rich Dani. Such a person sees all living beings equally, treats them equally without discrimination. Spiritual life also means relationship. And there are different levels of relationship. There is the relationship when one is trying to elevate oneself out of the material consciousness. And at least for progress, there's also, of course, the relationship when one is completely absorbed in the material modes of nature. And then one sees everything as an object of exploitation, either grossly or subtly. And when one comes to the platform of trying to get out of material consciousness, one gradually is able to understand things or see things in a different way by practice of regulated principles. And those regulated principles are not, well, it's helpful to get up at the same time, eat the proper amount of food, etc. But above that, Chanaka Pandit says, Matrivat paradareshu, paradvareshu lostrivat, atmavat sarabhuteshu, yakpashyati sapanditaha. That even a materialist, one who's in the material concept of life, but is trying to elevate oneself out of that consciousness, or at least to a higher consciousness, he has to see differently than a materialist who's simply trying to exploit the material nature. Therefore, matrivat paradareshu, to see every lady except for one's wife to be like one's mother. Now, we may not be able to see the soul within everyone's heart, but that is, at least in most civilized countries, or in a civilized country, that would be the consciousness that you have. That generally people don't look at their mother as an object of romance. Nor does a mother usually look at the son as an object of romance. The relationship is that of maternal, vatsalya rasa, protection, affection, etc. So that's very nice. It's much nicer than looking at every lady as an object of exploitation and simply living in a world of lust, which ultimately will turn into frustration and anger. Much better to look at everyone as like one's mother, and therefore having a relationship of service, because the son is a servant of the mother, at least it's supposed to be, and the mother is a servant of the son or the daughter. And the mother takes the children as her service also. It's selfless. In the conception of the material world, there is Venus. Venus is the planet of romance, or lust, actually. And the moon is the object, is the planet of maternal affection. So that's what we're supposed to have a relationship. But of course, there's also the wife, which represents Venus. And it's not proper to have a relationship of maternal affection between the wife and the husband. That's a little bit perverted. There's also the possibility of some kind of romance. Romance means, at least in the Vedic culture, not so much romantic as it is in the modern culture, that one is imagining something. Too much imagination is not good. Then one becomes a victim. One becomes a dancing dog in the hands of a woman, and the woman becomes absorbed in dancing the dog. Both things. It's not good to be a dog who's dancing. It's not too good to be absorbed in dancing the dog either. But something should be there. Otherwise, it's not possible that the species could go on if there's not some kind of romance, some kind of illusion. Prabhupada once said, the position of the householder is to be somewhat an illusion. Otherwise, how can you be a householder? You have to have some kind of idea that this is romantic. In any case, there's the object of romance, but for the generally, there's the object of maternality, because there's a lot more, most of us can't handle more than one wife. And what to speak of seeing every woman as being your potential wife, that would be rather disturbing. Prabhupada says, gives the example, a man comes home at night, he has many wives, and each wife takes an arm, says, come with me, and the other wife says, come with me. One takes the leg, the other takes the leg. One pulls from behind, one pulls from the front. And it would be quite disturbing. So that's the senses. They're pulling us this way, the eyes are pulling us, the hearing is pulling us, the tongue is pulling us, the senses are pulling us in different directions, and it's very disturbing. Therefore, better to concentrate on one sense and absorb in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, one wife and have a relationship to sit down morning and evening, chant Hare Krishna together, take prasadam together, worship the deity, hear Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, gradually, although there may be some romance, but gradually that romance will turn into the mood of service and friendship to advance in Krishna consciousness. And then one will actually be happy and satisfied and peaceful under any circumstances. If one can realize that even higher than sense gratification is Krishna consciousness in one's family life, then one can live happily in any situation in the material world, and not get agitated or disturbed, thinking, if I only had found my soulmate, everything would have been all right. Then my life would have been happy and peaceful. Unfortunately, I didn't find my soulmate, and therefore I'm still not satisfied, so let me go up and down throughout all the planetary systems and finally find my soulmate and be happily ever after, like in every fairy tale ends. That's all it is a fairy tale. Happily ever after. Well, if you want to find out the people who supposedly live happily ever after and meet them, you have to go to the cemeteries. Dig up the bones and see if the skeleton has a smile on it. If it's the two skeletons are still holding hands. And they're happily ever after. On the other hand, before that, matrivat paradareshu, paradwareshu losravat, to get a happily family life, I mean family life, according to the Bhagavatam, not according to me, deha patya kala tradishu atma sanyeshva satsupi. All the eating, sleeping, mating, defending, all the big endeavor is all meant to simply try to survive for the most part. Of course, there's happiness in eating and sleeping and mating, defending, but it's insignificant. The real anxiety, the real problem is, how am I going to live here? How am I going to survive? And if we have a house, and we have a wife, we have the children grow up and they can become a lawyer or a doctor, make money to maintain me in my old age. The dog can stand at the door and protect me and growl and bark all the time if anyone comes. My wife can scratch and bite like anything. So I feel protected in my family life. That the Yamadutas come and my dog will jump on them. My wife will bite them. My children will it protect me. So this is the whole endeavor, somehow or another, have this body survive. Although it doesn't survive even for a moment, keeps on changing, but still we're attached, we hope, because we don't know anything else. We're in ignorance. We don't know that Nate Vidu Swartha Gatim He Vishnu. We're not 100% convinced, at least, that the goal of life is to obtain Krishna. Because we haven't tasted Krishna consciousness. But at least theoretically, we have to accept this platform. And when we see ladies, think of them as our mother, rather than as a possible wife, or a romantic partner. See that the man is objects of our affection and service in a paternal way. And see everyone else's property except for one's own as being like garbage in the street. And I think if I had more material energy, then I'd become more happy. But think, if whatever energy I have, if I utilize it properly, then that's my perfection. Not that I need more. If you have one car, it's hard enough to take care of it. It's a big responsibility. Got to change the oil and the gas and repair it and clean it, get insurance for it, put the air in the tires. So it's a big responsibility to take care of a car. And if you have two cars, you have twice as many problems. But what is the value? It's probably healthier to walk. But if you have to take the car, but how many cars can you drive in simultaneously? You can only drive in one. So why worry about getting more and more and more just for some false prestige? If you have a bicycle and you can go to your place, or you can walk, then you don't have to worry about all the other things that go, all the other entanglements, just to go somewhere that you get from getting a vehicle or a bigger vehicle, more expensive one, a bigger one, a faster one. They've done a study and they've shown that the amount of energy and money you have to spend if you want to walk, say, from here to India, or if you want to fly, or if you want to take the train, or you want to take the bus, ultimately it's about the same amount of energy. That has to be expended. Of course, we're not going to walk from here to India. You got to walk through a few places, which might not be very convenient. But in any case, the idea is that this idea of progress is just illusory. The real progress is consciousness. And here it says that napashyati sapanditaha, that our real progress is to see all of the entities in relationship, at least to reality, that we're all spiritual beings, and therefore, although we're in different bodies, ultimately it's just, we're one as spirit. This lifetime we have a woman's body, or a human body, or a man's body, and the next lifetime we may have a dog body. We'll be the same person. Now we think we're great because we think we're in this body. And when we get a dog's body, we'll think we're the best dog on the block. We'll have the same false prestige. I bark better than anyone. I eat more than anyone. I'm a big dog. So if we're in the dog mentality, that's not very advantageous. We want to come to the human mentality. And part of that is to at least vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gavi hastini shuni chaiva svapake cha pandita samadarshana. We have to practice. We have to practice seeing all living entities as spirits, as potentially Krishna's, well, everyone is Krishna's servant, but as a conscious servant of Krishna, as a loving servant of Krishna, everyone has that potential. And if we criticize people, because it's naturally, we're always critical. Critical is not bad. Discrimination is not bad. But we should utilize it for people's benefit, not out of enviousness. When we see people are doing something wrong, then we should try to help them so they come to the right platform of remembering Krishna. That we should see ourselves as a servant of all living entities, trying to help them become Krishna conscious. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, Yari Deka Tari Kaha, Krishna Upadesh, Amaya Aga Guruhana Tari Desh. Whoever we meet, we should try to help them become Krishna conscious, and that way become a guru. Not that, oh, there's a 90 gurus in ISKCON, and that I can't become a guru because I'm a woman, I can't be a guru. But we have our movement, we're going to make women gurus. we're going to get strong, we're going to take over. We don't need these men. And the men said, oh no, this is a shastric, women shouldn't be gurus. No, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, we're all supposed to be gurus. But if we think I should be a guru where I'm powerful, I get everyone bows down before me, they give me money, they give me respect, then I'm really guru. That's really what guru means. Everyone should love me because I have the designation of guru. If not, you're offender, you're finished. I'm writing my name and I'm sending it to the Yamadutas. No, actually guru means one who tries to help others become Krishna conscious. That's actually guru. And we think, well, I'm not going to, if I don't get the position of Diksha Guru when people bow down before me, then that's not so much fun. The real fun is when, the real fun is when we're actually pleasing to Krishna and Krishna reveals himself to us. That's actually where the real fun begins. And that's open to everyone. Everyone is supposed, that's all we're supposed to do, is be guru. Everyone's supposed to be guru. If the dog could understand it, we'd train them to become a guru also. Unfortunately, they bark a lot, but they don't understand very much. So everyone has only one service in this world, is to help others become Krishna conscious, with their body, with their mind, and their words. And although we may not be so expert, we're being trained to become a little better at it than we were before, that's all. So everyone should take that responsibility. Otherwise, we're just being lazy. That's why we don't mind, oh, you're a guru, it's all your responsibility. You're a Diksha Guru, it's all your responsibility. Anything goes wrong, it's your fault. I'm innocent. I'm just a normal, everyday, fallen soul. Don't expect much out of me. Don't blame me, I'm just, you know. No, that's absurd. None of us are, that's who we are. We're a soul, we're obviously an illusion, but we're supposed to get out of illusion. Not that I'm officially designated as a non-guru, as person in illusion, and anything I do wrong, it's just normal for me. But we expect you to do something right. You're supposed to save me. And if you don't, you're a rascal. You're a pretender. I'm simply an innocent victim, part of the material energy, and it's your job to save me, although I, somehow or another, give me your blessings. Of course, most people, blessings, money, money's flowing. You're not so good at money, at least health, the other hand, health. No, the blessings, we're supposed to bless ourselves and others by telling them about Krishna, by trying to help them in some way, whoever we meet, not only the people on the outside, look at all these fallen souls on the outside, let me give them a book or chant Hare Krishna to them, because they're fallen, I'm a savior. I'm out here to save the world. And anyone who doesn't want to be saved, they're going to hell. What can I do? They deserve it. They're offending a great devotee. Me. Stop, you rascal. What do you mean you don't stop? Hell. You're going to hell. I'm sending you to Yamaraj. No, we're simply out there as we're trying to be merciful to others and merciful to ourselves. That's why we're there. That's why we're anywhere. Anywhere we meet. Not that we go out and book distribution and now I'm the savior. We come back to the temple and now I'm something else other than the savior. Now I'm the competitor. Now I'm going to fight with all these other people in the temple to become the best devotee. Do you know who I am? Do you know how many books I distributed? Do you know what my position is? Bow down, devotee. I have some reason in the back of my mind why I'm better than you. And I'm going to guard that reason for the rest of my existence. So I feel, I don't feel myself the lowest servant here. No, I'm going to become the highest servant. When I walk by, everyone's going to say, oh, there goes the real servant. No, we actually have to develop the mood of servant, even in the temple, even when we meet. Oh, there's that devotee. They never like me. They don't like the way I sing. They don't like the way I chant. They don't like the way I cook. They don't like anything about me. I don't like them either. It's reciprocal. We have a real intimate relationship going on. Whenever I see them, I get disgusted and angry. Because they don't know who the real devotee in the temple is. Therefore, we have only bad wishes for them. Because they deserve it. No, we have to develop the proper attitude towards everyone we look at. And if we don't, we have to analyze, what is our attitude? What are we thinking? Is it real? Is it just Maya just covering us and giving us some false conception of what our relationship is? And if we do that, we analyze our consciousness and try to develop a service attitude, try to see things, how I can help assist this devotee, then we make some progress in spiritual life, in real spiritual life. As it says, Archam eva harye, pujam yakshariye hate, etha daneshu chaneshu, sabhakta prakritya smritaha. Archam eva harye. When we see the deities, hopefully anyone who's aspiring to become a devotee, they offer some respect. Most of us don't come to the temple and start criticizing the deities. I hope not. My dear deities, you know, you're always smiling. There must be something in the back of your mind. Why are you so happy? I'm miserable. Are you happy to see me as miserable? Is that why you're happy? Most of us don't come to the temple with that attitude. We understand Krishna's happy because he's Krishna conscious. So Archam Eva Harya Pujam Yakshariye. So therefore, generally speaking, we're favorable when we see Krishna and even very elevated devotees like Prabhupada. We offer flowers to Prabhupada and we think, well, today I'm not going to offer you a flower to Prabhupada because I don't like you today. No, we offer the flower because to the most elevated devotees and to Krishna, we generally offer our respects, those who are aspiring to become a devotee. But higher than that, if we actually elevate our consciousness, then Ishvare Tadadineshu Balusheshu Dvitratsucha Prema Maitri Kripopeka Yat Karoti Samadhimaha. So we're being trained so that when we see Ishvara, we don't see him as the object of our enhanced material enhancement. Give me a wife, give me a car, give me a color TV, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. Or a house by the sea. Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. That we're being trained to see Ishvara as the object of prema, of love. We have nothing to gain from him except from loving him. And we see the devotees, the bhaktas, as the object of maitri, friendship and service. And we see the innocent as object of kripa, trying to help them become Krishna conscious. And those who are antagonistic towards Krishna, we're trying to develop the attitude of apeksha, detachment from their association. That's actual progress in spiritual life. That's when spiritual life begins. When we develop that consciousness that therefore we can go out, we can preach, we can be in the temple, we can serve, but we have to develop that consciousness. That's the advantage of doing these, having this opportunity to be in the come to the temple, study Prabhupada's books, make the temple our home. It is to develop that consciousness that the husband sees his wife not as an object of sense gratification, but as an object of service. The children as an object of service. The wife sees the husband as an object of service. Then that's a very happy family life, service in Krishna consciousness. And in the absence of that affection or that relationship, we see others also as an object of service. Now, people may not reciprocate that service in our Krishna conscious service to them, but if we have that attitude, then we'll always be peaceful and happy, and we'll always be pleasing to Krishna and make spiritual advancement. So that knowledge of how to become relate to people appropriately, relate to the devotees appropriately, that's the most valuable knowledge. And although we may not be self-realized to the greatest degree, but if we apply that knowledge, gradually we'll make progress towards self-realization. Gradually Krishna will reveal himself in the heart of all living entities. That Krishna is there, he's waiting for us to serve him appropriately in whoever we meet, and then Krishna will reveal himself. If we go out, we may on book distribution, and then we see that the people we thought, they looked like this or they looked like that, but then when we relate to them in terms of Krishna, they turn into someone else unexpectedly. And similarly, even with the devotees, if we treat the devotees appropriately, they'll turn into something else also than what we expect. Therefore, we have to avoid familiarity breeding contempt and try to see things ever fresh through the eyes of Krishna consciousness. And then we'll be able to develop happy relationships with whoever we meet. We'll actually become happy in all our relationships, and we won't be possessive and envious, and all the other things that come along with the wrong mentality. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
You mentioned that the senses are dragging in all directions, and sometimes I wonder just to for our basic needs that we maintain this body and soul together. How can we distinguish that something is not that basic? But the mind tell us so that it is.
Well, we have to judge it according to what's practical. For instance, if we eat, it's not a good idea to sleep for 3 hours after we eat. The idea of eating is not to go into samadhi. We don't eat our way into samadhi. So we eat, and then we should feel that we should get energy from the eating. That's why we're eating, to get energy to serve Krishna with. Similarly with eating, sleeping. Sleeping is not meant so we take our next birth as a bear. We hibernate for 6 months. We're not practicing to do that. We're sleeping so we get the energy to serve Krishna. So we have to judge whether or not by these activities I'm actually developing, you know, getting the empowered to do better service or not.
So it's good to connect every activities and you think these needs with Krishna.
And that's the purpose of every activity, is to connect with, that's called yoga. Connect ourselves with Krishna, even through eating, sleeping, even mating. If we connect with Krishna through mating, then, well, it's Krishna says, balam balavatam chaham kama raga vivarjitam dharma virudo bhute shu kamasmi bharatarshma. Then it becomes spiritual. But if we think, well, yeah, I'll connect with Krishna through mating, but then I need a little extra also. But that's spiritual too, because, no, it's not spiritual. It becomes mundane. And anything that's mundane, we'll get tired of.
One question.
Yeah.
You mentioned also that we should analyze our thoughts sometimes.
All the time.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I notice with myself that sometimes some thoughts pops up, but like maybe judging someone, but then eventually sometimes I catch myself with this and I'm thinking that that's just not me, that what should we do at that point?
Find out who you are. And do the appropriate thing. Think the appropriate thing. We're not, if some thought comes to our mind and we accept it, we're not obliged to keep on accepting it. We should replace it with something superior, with a Krishna conscious perspective. And then we won't be disturbed by that thought. So even we're making the whole life, our whole life is a mistake. But if we make some correction, then we'll stop making. Then our life will become correct. We're making mistakes all the time, but now we have to correct them, that's all. This is a hospital where all kinds of sick people come to get cured. It's not a fairy palace where all the good fairies come to. No, it's a transcendental hospital to cure our material sickness. So we become healthy, spiritually healthy. And if we think we're spiritually healthy, then we're really sick. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lecture. So you were speaking about relationships, and sometimes we see devotees fighting or not having such good relationships. So what can we ourselves do to not be caught in the middle of that? Or if
step aside.
What if we are already kind of caught in the middle of that? How should we respond then?
Duck.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Yeah, there's a question on the internet from Bhakti Yoga Tilburg. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the lecture. Question: how to combine not looking down on others and at the same time becoming detached from their association?
No, we have to be have transcendental discrimination, but that doesn't mean enviousness. We have to understand who we can associate with, who we can serve properly, and who by associating with them we may. Our service may diminish. So we have to be discriminating. But it's not that we hold everyone at fault because I can't serve them properly. It means we have to judge our power. Prabhupada gives the example of the big fire and the little fire. If you have a big fire, you can put in any amount of wood, and the fire blazes even more. But if you have a small fire and you put in too much wood, the fire will go out. So we have to judge things in order to understand what is my power to serve, and whether I can help the person, or I'll myself will find myself in difficulty by such association. Rather than help them, I'll actually impede my own progress. But when we give up, when we don't associate with people, still, if they're devotees, at least we respect them within our mind, but we don't associate with them intimately. Not necessarily only due to their fault, but due to my lack of spiritual advancement too. Is that right? Oh, that's from Tilburg. Okay. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, you also mentioned that men should look every other woman as mom and except your partner. But I'm just...
Except for your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wondering if you help me to clear out regarding the age of various women. It is also, it's better to look old like mom, or you can also look like a sister or daughter?
No, Prabhupada said mother. That's Matrivat Paradarisha. Okay. Otherwise, in this age, everything is so perverted, you never know what's going to happen.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for clarification.
Anything else? Khala Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.